This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We are halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. Had a fun first couple of hours this morning with the fellas in here. Always a delight to be able to talk to you every day. Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, 6 to 10. That's it, man. That's the Ben and Woods show in a nutshell. Just having fun. Did you guys see the comment that we got yesterday? It's an old comment, but somebody... Oh, let me introduce the program here. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
We got Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And got a tweet yesterday from the Foo Fryer. The Foo Fryer said, at Ben and Woods... Said, I got this, I Googled 97.3 The Fan, and there was a review that came up from 2 months ago. And I don't know, I guess on like Google reviews or something. I try not to read those because they make me sad sometimes. And I don't go looking for negative comments, but I liked this one. Lewis gave us 1 star as a program. It's kind of ruined morning sports radio for me. It used to be really good, but Ben and Woods shouldn't be running a sports show. I love my Padres, but it's the only thing they're passionate at talking about. We just had the first college football game and barely any mention. This isn't sports talk. It's Padres with a side of golf and a rare mention of other sports with definitely no breakdown of any other sports because they don't know enough.
I found it. It's on Yelp.
It's on Yelp. Okay.
Didn't even know we had a Yelp.
I'm up really early, so I guess I'll listen to the New York people until 6, and then it's the show on Rock 105 for me. All right.
Well, funny, because right below that, the very next comment, Ben and Woods show is what keeps me alive.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for the content. And for Paulie, this is the new sports radio.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Thank you, Matthew. San Francisco.
I love you, dude. Thanks for that. Lewis, I'm sorry, man.
And then there's another one. The new morning show is horrible.
Is that us? That's an old one.
What exactly did Lewis get wrong about his evaluation of us? That really is.
It sounds like us.
That is our perfect show.
Well, but the thing is, what it didn't make me sad. My comment back to Foo Fryer was, this makes me happy. That means you get the show.
I actually do believe that we can carry on a fairly intelligent conversation about things beyond Padres baseball.
Sure.
Even in the sports world.
Sure.
Even Woods in basketball.
Even Woods, he says. Oh, my God.
Even Woods in basketball, I said. Not Ian Woods. Even Woods in basketball. As much.
Even him. This idiot.
You know, if we want to go there and there's something interesting, we will go there. And I think the conversation will be at a fairly high level. We have really intelligent tier ones that I think understand and get us on this program. But the passion in San Diego is about the Padres.
Correct.
And I think it's important. And, I credit Woods for this and, you know, changing my view of what sports, quote unquote, sports radio can be. Most important thing is to have a good time.
That's it,
in the
man.
Morning.
In the mornings is just to have a good time. Try to make you guys smile on the way in or be invested in something, you know, beyond... You know, what the Panthers are doing on their O-line and things like that. I mean, anybody can do that, I've always felt. And
I promise you, if we were in a different time slot, if we started in middays or even afternoons to an extent, the show would sound different.
Yeah, it would. And mornings. And
different styles for different times of the day are how it works.
That's what I think the layman may not understand. But listen, man, Luis, if you do check us out every now and then, and hopefully you've come back and give us a shot, I do appreciate it. But yeah, it's definitely not for everyone. It's not meant to be for everyone. But I do, you know, have you guys ever left a review on Yelp ever?
No, I was just reading some of them. I'm like, it takes a specific type of person.
Are they
like,
mean? Are they mostly mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I have been guilted into it a couple of times by businesses when I go and they say, could you please, if you enjoyed your experience, it would help so much if you would leave a good Yelp review for us. And I have a couple of times tried to figure out how to log in. Like, I have no idea what's my Yelp login, but all right. Ben from Encinitas says, yeah, this restaurant was fantastic. I really enjoyed it because I want to do a favor to the you know, the business owner or whatever.
I guess I've done it a few times.
I've never
times
left a bad review.
When I've had a really great experience, and it doesn't matter if it's a restaurant. Hell, I left one for my dentist's office because...
Dentist's office.
First time there.
Dr. Skeen's Elite.
They were so good, and they just said, hey, if you don't mind, like, this actually, we're trying to get more Google reviews, and it does help.
Wait, Dr.
Skeen's? If it helps you...
Yeah. Dr. Skeen's.
He's amazing.
He's incredible.
You love Dr. Skeen's?
I love Dr. Skeen's.
I love
Dr. Paul Skeen's.
Is he Paul?
I love Dr. Skeen's. No, his name is Greg.
Greg.
Yeah. I love Dr. Skeen's.
But when a company is like, hey, you know, we're trying to specifically promote Facebook reviews or Google reviews or Yelp reviews, whatever, if it helps them, I don't mind doing it. But if I have a bad experience, like if I had
I just don't go back.
A meal that was not cooked or something, I'm not going to go.
What bothers me is that because everyone kind of sometimes I think has to rely on Yelp. If you're somewhere where you're unfamiliar, you're just looking, I need, what are my options in the area? Restaurants near me. Like, what am I looking for? And then you kind of, all right, I'll look at a couple of reviews to see if they think this place is good or trash. And you'll see, oh, it's got 3.5 stars. Like 90% of Yelp businesses have 3.5 stars. And you'll look and one rating is like 5 star. Oh, yeah, it was great. Good portion size, you know, delicious food. And then there's the 1 star review and they go, I walked in and the person taking my order gave me a look. So I just left and I didn't even order. I don't really care. That doesn't help me make my decision about what business I'm going to go to. That you, for some reason, didn't hit it off with the cashier at the restaurant. I don't leave a review then. Just don't go back there. Don't poison the entire review pool when you didn't even actually order any food.
Yeah, people like to they like to complain. They do, you know. And I fully get it. It used to kill me. I used to go read the reviews from the first show that I was on. On 94.9, the Yelp reviews, and it would make me want to die. I would go home almost in tears. But at 15 years, your skin gets a little bit thicker, and you realize that, that a guy like that clearly doesn't get what we're trying to do. No big deal.
Like restaurants, I think, are probably the most sought after reviews. Like, I don't bother with Yelp or even Google reviews for that because, again, I think if you're going to take the time out of your day, most of the time it's because you're miserable and sad and you're upset with something that happened.
Sure.
Like Ben's website, Eat Her. Going to Vegas in a few weeks for my wife's birthday.
You check out Eat Her?
Maybe.
I'm snobby.
Looking
but
for some restaurants.
I'd rather have.
And because that is somebody that, like, their job is that blog, that website. I
want to hear from experts rather than crowdsourcing for the most part.
Okay.
You know, that's just me.
Do we have a phone call?
We have a phone call.
A couple of people want to weigh in.
Right, who's on the line?
We can start with RJ.
Hi, RJ.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling to say you guys are amazing. Oh, lots of stars, of whatever you're supposed to put lots of. I'm going to press it many, many times. And I think you made a really good point. Paul, I think, said that if it was another time of day, this show would have a different vibe. But you guys are trying to keep us moving. I'm almost driving off the road half the time with you guys because you guys make me smile and laugh, and I almost see my pants.
That's
the hilarious.
Goal. Yeah.
And, I mean, actually, yesterday, real quick, the thing with Vinny.
Hey.
And your New York, oh my gosh, I forgot what you guys were making fun of. It was freaking hilarious, the bridge pylon.
What was
on the freeway, because I don't know what you guys, something about the weight loss, something weight loss.
Oh, Bronx weight loss. Hey, welcome to BronxWeightLoss.com.
Yeah.
You can still eat gabagool.
I need to pull over now. I need to pull over because I'm going to laugh again. But again, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I love what you guys are doing. I still think your 8 o'clock bumper thing is way too damn long.
It
but it's okay. It's a good tune.
It's a great tune.
And it gets you pumped up, and you got to do you, man. So listen, you keep up the good work.
Thank you, buddy.
And all those people, they can all take a hike. Bye.
Thank you. I love take a hike. Once you hit the road, Jack.
Thanks, RJ. That was a 5-star review.
5-star review.
Now, we could get a 1-star review from someone who tried to call, and there was no phone screener. And, hey, I called in. No one even answered.
Yeah.
1 star for Ben and Woods.
That's true.
That doesn't help us at all. Alex is calling in as well.
Morning, Alex.
Alex, good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, no, I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
I think that Foo Fighter guy must have been an LA fan. I mean, San Diego only has one real major sport, and it's baseball. So, I mean, what else are we going to talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
and we love our Padres.
Well, yeah, we happen to. It's wild that it all came together, you know, for me. Like, I would be able to do it in a market, in a different market, no problem. Like if you put me in Kansas City and we had to do Chiefs talk, I would, that'd be pretty enjoyable. They're pretty good. Or Cincinnati, we're talking the Bengals and the Reds, but I just happen to love baseball. And then the football team moved and we have no basketball team and we have no NHL team. So it just kind of all worked perfectly for me, which is why, some guy last week was giving it to me in the chat and he said, man, you're burning all your bridges in LA, dude. Nobody would ever hire you. And I said, good. I said, well, I don't want to go to LA. And he goes, that's stupid. And I go, why? He said, it's the number two media market. I go, so what? I go, I don't want to, when you know what you want and you know what you have, and you're happy with what you're doing, this has never been like a stepping stone to bigger things. So like, this is where I want to be. And I'm so lucky that the only thing that really, really desperately needs our attention is the baseball
team. So I had maybe the dream once in my life, like, oh, I'll do the TV thing. Well, I'll move up markets and, you know, maybe I'll eventually end up in New York or something or on ESPN.
They would have eaten you alive in New York, man.
Well, and that's true. But
Mama!
Ultimately, I look at other people who do that and, you know, more power to them. It's fine. But how can you ever know? If I all of a sudden was dropped into, you know, Chicago, what do I know about Chicago history? I can do as much studying as I want.
Correct.
You're never going to have the passion, insight, and knowledge of someone who's lived in the town for a long time. And, you know, you've been here now, Woods, for what, 13, 14, 15 years?
February, yep.
You are a true San Diegan now. But in your first couple of years, you couldn't have hosted a Padres show.
Hell no.
There's no way.
Hell no. I had to do sports, remember? So, sports.
I didn't know. A real fan would have seen right through newcomer Woods, you know, hosting the Padres Insider Chat. Like, what do you know about the team?
Correct. Nothing.
It's impossible.
So, sports.
It's one of my favorite drops, dude.
So, sports.
Sports.
Let's get to the sports.
Murders me, dude. Murders me. Adam says in the chat, our boss Adam says, people act like the amount of Padres you guys talk is accidental. It's not. I mean, this is just what we do. This is what the three of us would be doing if we were, if we worked in an office together. Like, it would sound like this. Like, we'd be busting Ben's balls, and we'd be talking Padres baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
And Adam's the exact opposite. So Adam encourages as much Padres talk as possible, which we love. We love that about Adam. Our first job was the exact opposite. Right. We were, like, grudgingly allowed to talk Padres for a couple of
sometimes
minutes, but we better keep it short.
And then we had to go to a meeting after our show.
NFL, baby.
Every single day, go to our boss's office, sit down, and hey, you guys talked to Padres in 8 out of your 12 segments today, guys. Can't have that.
Yeah, we did it anyway.
Tony asked the question, what makes someone a true San Diegan?
You don't have to.
You don't have
to be born here, obviously.
You don't have to be a Woods is a true San Diegan.
I feel like it.
You know, and I'm not saying there's a minimum amount of time necessary, but be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you can jump in, be enthusiastic. If you just arrived in San Diego and you want to embrace San Diego, great. You're a true San Diegan. Still not looking to you for insight on our sports teams yet.
Yeah.
I just feel like there has to be some experience, some knowledge of what's going on with the fan base before you can credibly sit on the airwaves for 4 hours a morning and speak with intelligence and passion about a team.
What's the time limit here? Like before you're welcomed as a San Diegan. I've been here now. I'm coming up on 16 years,
yep.
And like I'm 34, so that's almost half my life I've been here. Okay, like yes, I wasn't born here. You weren't born here,
correct,
Woods. But like at some point, do we have enough skin in the game yet?
Yeah, I don't worry about it as much as I used to.
I mean, if you embrace it, hey, 5 minutes, you're here, you can be a San Diegan. But if you're always like,
well,
I don't know, I came from New York.
Oh, and it was so great.
Pizza was always better. Everything's always better there. You can be here for 50 years and you're not a true San Diegan.
There's not a damn thing that I miss from home other than my family. There's not a damn thing I'm in Whataburger breakfast. That's it. But I can get that in Arizona when we go out for Padres spring training. That's it. That's it. Everything else, man, I am all in it. And I have I have since the minute I set foot here. I never want.
And you don't have to love everything about San Diego to be a San Diegan either. We're not perfect.
No, it's not.
We have our flaws here just like everybody else, but it's a pretty great place.
I was the guy. My parents always laugh at me because I was such a nomad, man. I was Indiana, and I was here, and I went to this and that. And then as soon as I got here, they expected me home in like 2 years because that was my M.O. I was like, no, that's never happening. You will be your old pal Woods will be sprinkled around this city hopefully many years from now.
All right. We're going to need a contestant for Take on Woods. We're going to play. We postponed it from our last hour because we were running a little bit behind. But if you want to play in our 8 o'clock hour, chance to win those San Diego State basketball tickets, get on the line during our break. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We'll play our musical trivia challenge, Tier 1 v. Woods, coming up. And we'll update you on our poll question from earlier this morning. What is the age limit for trick-or-treating? When do you need to stop? Cut it off and say, all right, it's time to grow up and no longer knock on people's doors and ask for free candy.
We have the results, but there's also a lot of comments, too.
All right, we'll get into that coming up next with Take on Woods. Next, after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. We got Chris standing by to play Take on Woods quickly. So we put the poll question up in our opening segment. Since tomorrow is Halloween and today is Cabbage Night.
Yeah, or Mischief Night.
Mischief Night. And we decided, so your kids are obviously still plenty young enough to trick-or-treat.
Oh,
my kids are both, I think, clearly too old. They're not kids anymore. They're adults.
21.
19.
And 19.
So we put up three questions. With three answers. What should the cutoff age be for trick-or-treaters? Up to 13, up to 15, or 18? And right now, Ben and Woods, Tier 1, say up to 13 with 44% is the leading vote getter. Then up to 15 at 34.4%, and then 18 at 21.7%.
Yeah, you see a lot of comments. Hey, let them be kids as long as possible. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Also, when Bo's 18.
Are you sure that they just want to be kids when they're going trick-or-treating at age 17 or 18, though?
I feel like if Bo's 18 and he's out trick-or-treating, I'm going to say to him, why aren't you at work? You need to be at work right now. He has no idea what's waiting for him.
Just don't ruin it for the little kids.
Yeah, don't ruin it for the little guys.
It's like the biggest night of the year for like an 8-year-old.
Bro.
And don't be the teenager who's making it hard for the little kids to actually go and get candy by taking all the candy and teenagers do.
It's the same bit that I run into at Disneyland with the Star Wars adults. You know, it's the same thing I run into. My kids are running up. They want to see Chewie. And then I got some guy who's 46 pushing them out of the way so he can see Chewbacca. Right? Yeah. I get it. He's cool. I loved seeing him, too. I got excited, but I didn't run up and push little kids out of the way. Hey, it's Admiral Ackbar. Relax. You're okay. You're a grown-ass man, dude. You shave and stuff. He's 6.
A lot of, Glucoman, if they're polite and in costume, they're good. You know, hey, trick-or-treat. We're not going to ask for ID. But if you're just showing up asking for free candy and, you know, shoving out the actual kids who are in the way,
here's
don't
the other
do
thing.
That.
Has anyone ever actually denied a kid that you thought was a little too old?
I'm sure they have.
Because I promise you, even if I felt very strongly like there's this age cutoff, what am I going to do? Just say no? Just give them the candy.
Hire a bouncer.
A bouncer. Candy bouncer.
Need to see your ID at the gate.
They got the flashlight.
How old are you, buddy?
Right. Reverse bouncer. No, I'm sorry. You're too old to get into
this
establishment.
You hit a point where
I feel like you don't
parties with
to.
Your friends are more important.
Yeah, girls.
And girls and all that.
Yeah, I feel like if I was 16 or 17 and some girl that I like was like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm going trick-or-treating. She'd be like, all right, see you later.
How about this? You get a driver's license, you're too old.
I'm down with that.
I think that's fair.
A lot of kids don't get their driver's license now until
I was 17 when I got mine. Yeah. Interesting.
All right. So we got Chris standing by. Let's pull a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Chris, good morning to you and welcome to our game today. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Good morning.
All right, let's see if we can put you into the drawing for those San Diego State season-opening basketball tickets at Viejas Arena next Wednesday, November 6th. All of our winners this week qualify for one drawing at the end of the week. Here are your categories. We've got Blank Like Blank, Part 2, just like yesterday, five more song titles. Phrases connected by the word like. We got This for That. Those are phrases connected by the word for, and that's an all 2 second song category. And we've got Feeling the Heat, which is five song titles and artists that have the word heat included. So, Blank Like Blank, This for That, or Feeling the Heat? What would you like to play, Chris?
Let's go Feeling the Heat.
Feeling the Heat. Okay, five song titles and bands, all including the word heat somewhere in their name. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know an answer. First question's the 2 second song, just one of them. Paulie's going to play the music. You need to give me the song title and the artist to score that point. Woods goes second. We compare your scores. You win or tie, we put you into the drawing. Chris, are you ready to play?
I am ready.
Paul, you good to go?
I'm good.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Category is Feeling the Heat. Chris, your time starts when Paul plays our music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Heat of the Night. I don't know.
Okay, with lyrics including Could It Be the Devil in Me or Is This the Way Love's Supposed to Be, which Motown classic was first popularized by Martha and the Vandellas in 1963?
Bad.
A powerful saxophone riff highlights which song reported by Glenn Frey in 1984 for the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack? Which blues and rock band formed in 1965 is best known for their song Going Up the Country, hailed as a rural hippie anthem? Calvin Harris enlisted Young Thug, Pharrell Williams, and Ariana Grande for which 2017 song that shares a name with a condition people can experience when body temperature rises above 104 degrees? That's a shutout today.
Goose egg.
Maybe just not the right category for you, Chris. I appreciate you calling in and playing. Let's bring Woods in. All right, Woods, let's just get right to it. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck.
Sound like my wife.
Take on Chris.
60 seconds on the clock. Let's get right to it. It's the Heat of the Moment by Asia.
That is correct. With lyrics including, Could It Be the Devil in Me or Is This the Way Love's Supposed to Be, which Motown classic was first popularized by Martha and the Vandellas in 1963?
Heatwave.
Correct. A powerful saxophone riff highlights which song recorded by Glenn Frey in 1984 for the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack?
The Heat is On.
Correct. Which blues and rock band formed in 1965 is best known for their song Going Up the Country, hailed as a rural hippie anthem?
Country. That song?
Yeah.
Hate it.
Worse.
Who's it by?
That's, isn't it by?
Maybe you're not thinking of the right one. I don't know.
No, you are.
Canned Heat.
Yes! Calvin Harris enlisted Young Thug, Pharrell Williams, and Ariana Grande for which 2017 song that shares a name with a condition people can experience when body temperature rises above 104 degrees?
Heatstroke.
Yeah, very well done. Five for five, Woods.
I was going to say the heat of the taint.
I knew you wouldn't get that without the secondary part of that question, but that's why I threw it in there.
Hot taint.
To give everyone a chance. Unfortunately,
the worst song of all, one of the worst songs of all.
It's the one they use in commercials sometimes. I don't know for what.
Remember a couple years ago, right around this time, a little later in the year, when they do the Spotify Wrap.
Yes.
And we did Ben's fake Spotify Wrap. This was on there.
Play it.
We're going out to break.
We're going out to break for it. All right. Chris, thanks for playing. It wasn't your day today.
How do you do?
5-0. Yeah, we got the shout-out today. Brett Boone is going to join us as we continue our Big League Wednesday with the brother of the manager of the Yankees, who are still alive in the World Series. That's coming up after a little more Canned Heat on 97.3 The Fan.
Who's the record label exec? It's like, yeah, release it. Let's go. Number one single. The great Phil Lesh passed away. We have not done our shout out to his family yet. That he wrote that song, Box of Rain by the Grateful Dead. Bass player for the Dead, died at 84. Maybe a quick one, Paulie.
Shout out to his family.
Phil Lesh, 84, passed away Monday.
All right. We do have Brett Boone standing by, yeah, so I'm glad we made that quick. He probably deserved a little longer.
He did.
But the music came on.
The music came on. I was inspired.
Throw it out there.
Made an executive decision.
We will have Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB insider, join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And we're joined right now by Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Although he's a fairly notable name himself. Always a pleasure to talk to Brett. And Brett, the World Series is still underway, which we weren't sure about going into last night. So we're glad we have more baseball to talk about.
The boys are still kicking. It's a tough scenario going to game four. You know, I was asked yesterday about when you're down 3-0 and the mindset. You know, the players, we're amazingly naive, I think. You know, when the analysts and the fans see the writing on the wall, and it's just like, okay, you're down 3-0, and it's never happened in the history of the world. For a reason, we have the uncanny ability to get up that morning, come to the ballpark, and think, yeah, but we're going to do it this year.
Yeah, we'll do it.
And I remember in 99, I was in the the World Series, 99. And we're playing the Yankees. We're down 3-0. And I remember coming to the ballpark and sitting around before the game with my teammates going, oh, we've had Clemens' number all year. We're going to get him tonight. And we thought we were going to win and rally back and win 4-3. And then about sixth or seventh inning, it kind of set in. They had the lead. Clemens was pitching a gem. And it's not until then that I kind of looked around at my teammates and I kind of thought, we have that we're done look on our faces. And we ended up losing. So I thought last night the key for the Yankees to extend this series is they had to jump out to a lead. Well, Freddie Freeman hits another homer start the game. And I thought my player brain went, that might be the last dagger, especially if they don't come back in the bottom of the first and score. Well, they didn't, but they found a way to even it up with Verdugo hitting just a measly ground ball, but a big ground ball to make it 2-2, or was that make it two to one?
Yeah.
And then obviously when Volpe hits the grand slam, just changed the complete complexity. All the energy went from one side to the other. The Yankees, I haven't seen them have any energy. The bottom of the lineup has been dismal. They haven't had anything from Aaron Judge. And I think a lot of things happen. Now, you're still down 3-1. I mean, you're as far against the wall as you could be.
Oh, yeah.
You're back. But I saw a lot of positive things come out of that game for the Yankees. You know, I saw Aaron Judge get a hit late. Yeah, it was just a base hit. But that's big for him going to bed last night. Verdugo had two RBIs when he hasn't done much. Well, he hit the two-run homer. It was kind of meaningless. But he had two big RBIs in big situations.
Huge AB. Just one of the best ABs I've ever seen, honestly. Like fighting pitches off to get one of those runs in, man. Incredible.
And those are huge. For your psyche, they're huge. You know, Wells hitting a home run.
And
he haven't got any production out of the catching position, and all of a sudden he went to bed last night saying, maybe I can hit. Just all the little things. You know, the fact that Torres hit that three-run homer late when the game was out of reach, but what did that do? That means Weaver didn't have to come out for another inning. Now, therefore, Weaver is fresh tonight. I just think if it was reversed, let's say if the Yankees had won game one and then got beat three straight, I think today, because you got to kind of pack your clothes in case you win tonight, then you're going back to L.A. I don't think that would have been a fun pack. But I think the fact they finished the fourth game the way they did, I think those guys were packing with a smile on their face last night. Like, we're going to L.A. We got our boy pitching tonight, Cole. We're going to L.A. So I think the Dodgers gave them a little bit of life. Now, like I said, you're still down 3-1 to a great Dodger team. The Yankees, if you look at it, there's kind of a path there. You know, can Flaherty pitch the way he did again in game one against, you know, Gerrit Cole? And then you got, you know, you just got to get the series back to L.A. That's what the Yankees players have to be thinking. But they just turned a kind of a lackluster, the Freddie Freeman show, easy MVP, quick sweep into, oh, okay, now we've got a little bit of a series at least. And for me personally, you know, I get to this point in the season and I've got to be as honest as I can. But, yeah, of course, deep down I'm thinking, hey, I want to see Aaron do well.
100%. So, yeah, it's your brother.
Interesting to see. I'm glad we get to at least watch one more game.
Me and you both, man. And you know what's funny? I guess I didn't realize. I had completely forgotten. I was in the house that night in Yankee Stadium when Brett Boone was in the midst of playing for the Atlanta Braves. Not only playing for the Atlanta Braves, but posting. He was 7-for-14. In the World Series.
I think I was 7-for-13.
7-for-13 in that World Series. And I was there with my dad, and when he told me we were going to the game the night before, we lived in Texas, and I said, I was so excited to be able to go to a World Series game with my dad, Brett, but I also said, well, of course we're going to this game. Like, they're going to lose this one. You're not sweeping a team as good as the Atlanta Braves, and you could speak to it how good Clemens was that night, man. That was unbelievable. It's crazy.
Because we had his number. We had faced him during the regular season. We weren't worried about Clemens at that point. We're like, yeah, we'll get Rodgers.
We'll get him. Wow.
And I'll tell you, he pitched one of the great games, by far one of the best games he had pitched that year. Yeah. And it just kind of took the wind out of our sails. And then I just remember the looks on my teammates' faces as we, you know, I see Mariano get up, and I'm like, oh no, boy.
Oh, boy.
When you're down 0-3 and Mariano's warming up, that, it's kind of like when Trevor in his heyday, you know, when you hear those bells, it's like, that's not good news.
This is not good for us.
Know, there's still a chance, but it's not. It's dwindling.
Talking to our pal Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I put myself in your shoes a few times during this postseason, and you know, it's funny, man. We go through the entirety of the season. I'm like 99%. I always say, and these guys can attest. I say it's on the players, man. It's on the players. It's on the players. It's on the players. The manager is certainly important, but I always tend to say the players got to perform. And really in game one, yeah, you can question your brother's decision to throw Cortez there. I'm sure he's questioned it. But you know, if Gleyber Torres just picks up a ball and keeps it in front of him, Shohei doesn't get an extra bag. You know. The sloppy play and stuff that happens sometimes is really makes the manager look bad. And I think, you know, I do feel like that game kind of slipped away from him. Sure would feel a lot better going 2-2 today, but you can't do anything about it. All you can do is go out and win one game. Kind of what was your read on game one?
Well, I mean, that's a gut punch. You know, you got it. It's 3-2
you got
and
it.
All of a sudden you don't have it. Here's what I've seen different in this postseason. I've watched, as I'm sure you guys have, I've watched all the games on both sides. The difference I saw was when the Padres had the Dodgers down 2-1. I thought the Padres were the better team this year.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, ever since they tied it 2-2, I've seen a different Dodgers team. And I've seen kind of the best team in the postseason since that 2-1. They were down 2-1, then they came back and snatched it from the Padres. They've just been on a mission. They've been a different team. They've been in sync. That bullpen's been unbelievable. Anything Doc Roberts has touched has turned to gold. We're doing bullpen games. We're pitching shutouts. Flaherty pitches 7, and then we're going to pitch another shutout. They got 4 shutouts. They're getting contributions from parts of the lineup that you didn't expect, from an Edmund, from a Kike Hernandez. It's just been they've been hitting on all cylinders. So that game one was so important, and it's a gut punch. I look at Aaron, you know, I always try to play it through with Aaron and the decisions he makes. And the thing is, it's like people just think he just went willy-nilly. Give me Nestor Cortez.
Sure.
Like that, there was no discussion. He just went, was managing by his gut. What happens is you talk to your bullpen coach, you talk to the pitching coach, talk to your bench coach. You're monitoring his side work and what he's been doing for the last 3 weeks. If this scenario comes up, what do we want to do? Now, me personally, I would have gone with Hill. Okay, Hill's been hot. He's been active in this postseason. Nestor hadn't pitched since September 18th.
Yeah.
Why is he going to Nestor? And I started to think, why would Aaron go to Nestor in this situation? Well, length. He obviously, like, yeah, you got to get Ohtani out, and Nestor did. That was the first form of business. But what happens if I have to face Betts? Well, it ended up being a weird play. Verdugo goes into the crowd. Now they move up. Now it's second and third. Now, of course, logic says walk Betts, get the lefty-lefty matchup. So I understood it wasn't about getting out Ohtani. It was about I've got to get through three guys here. Who do I want? And the numbers, I didn't look at the numbers, but Aaron obviously liked the matchup between Nestor and Betts better than Hill and Betts.
Sure.
And that's why I went with Nestor Cortez. Ended up not working out, so of course you're going to be critiqued on that. But in the World Series, especially if you're the Yankees skipper, I'm finding out by watching from afar, you're going to kind of get critiqued on everything if you lose a game. So that's the way it rolls.
That rule, by the way, sucks, in my opinion. Verdugo makes that sick catch, goes into the stands, gets up and throws the ball in. Bro, if they want to advance, they need to tag, just like they would on any foul ball that you catch. Like, the auto-giving of third and second base, I thought, is a little, that's a little weird.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about it, Woods. But what about the converse? What if you go into the stands and, like, you can't get out for some reason?
Yeah.
Can they just start running around the bases? Because
I guess as long as they tag.
You're stuck under, like, a chair and attached to some nachos and you can't get out. Can they just keep circling the bases until you extricate yourself?
What if you ran into the stands, the fans last night that were trying to take the ball out of Mookie's glove?
They're trying to kill you.
They might suffocate you.
They might. The only other thing I noticed, Brett, about your brother, and I tweeted it. You may have seen it. It was game two, and it was the call to Glaber up in the zone, really up in the zone. Glaber did not swing. They called it on the pitch. Soto's on deck. They're trying to make a comeback, and it was a clear ball, and Glaber's like, whoa. Your brother, who will run out of that dugout in May against the Blue Jays and light that ump up, he didn't. And I go, I'm surprised by that. And I know you've gotten on him about how many times he's gotten in the umpire's faces. That one for me, I thought, what better time than get the team fired up? But he chose not to.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a position of, I don't know, is it the World Series? Is he noticing that it's going both ways, you know, for the Dodgers?
That could be it.
Yeah, usually. But I've noticed, too, in this postseason especially, Aaron hasn't been as animated as he normally is, you know? And I've also noticed kind of in September, he kind of curbed that a little. Maybe he's growing up. Maybe Aaron's maturing.
Yeah, maybe.
I like how you pronounce it.
Mature.
Yeah.
He's mature.
Yeah, you like that?
He's mature.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But, no, I noticed that, too. But I also noticed a different demeanor from Aaron in the postseason, been more stoic and hasn't been as argumentative when it comes to balls and strikes. And I noticed that as the season went on, he kind of was a little more stoic in his approach. Versus, you know, Aaron's kind of infamous for arguing balls and strikes. And not necessarily arguing balls and strikes, but just making the umpire aware to keep that zone tight. And, like, hey, let's bear down here. Aaron's always just making you aware. It's not that's a ball or that's a strike. Hey, come on now. Make that ball be a strike before, you know. He's been a little less animated. I've noticed that, too.
Booney, we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's still stacked against the Yankees the next 3 days, but who knows? If they get it back to L.A., I do think the pressure shifts to the Dodgers immensely if they have to go to at least a game six. So we will hopefully wrap it up with you maybe next Wednesday, but always good talking to you, man.
Thanks, brother.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider. And again, Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Did you see the shout out that the Boone family got from Freddie Freeman and his dad? So Freddie Freeman's dad worked in an office and he would look down on the field and it would be Bob Boone throwing to Aaron and Brett Boone batting practice every single day. Freddie's dad walks down there and is like, what's your routine? I notice your kids are always going oppo, oppo, oppo. Is that something you work on? He goes, yeah, that every day. And so Freddie started doing that. Isn't that wild? Like the connection. And he started doing that with Freddie and making Freddie go the other way. And
Freddie's good at going the other way.
Thanks a lot, Boone family, for creating this monster, Freddie Freeman.
And he comes back to haunt Aaron. Decades later.
Crazy. What a world.
Shocking. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindle Report, hour number four of Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan.